turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Kindly remain standing as we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I'll read in verse 14. This is great. I'll read in verse 14. You're coming in verse 15 until we get to 21. And please, when you're reading, kindly do it loud. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15, everybody. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, unto another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straight away took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them all the 5 talents. Verse 17. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Verse 18. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21, everyone. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please, I'd like you to look at someone around you and say to the person, God is the owner. You are the steward. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. We've been talking about supernatural success secrets. What are the things that makes people to enjoy divine assistance in their lives? Why is it that some people seem to be enjoying the help of God beyond the way some other persons do enjoy the same? We all have one Father. He is called God. We all have one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We all have one Savior, Jesus. But let me say that we all don't experience equal help. I'll say that again. We all have one Father, God. We all have one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We all have one Bible. We all have one Savior. But the point is, even though God is the Father of us all, we all don't enjoy equal assistance from Him. We can all be equally assisted by God, but we all don't equally enjoy assistance, divine assistance from God. For a few reasons. There are those who know how to provoke their Father and cause Him to step into their lives and help them. And there are those that the Father will of necessity allow to go their way, expend their energies, and run back to Him for help before He helps them. In essence, we all belong to the same Father, but we all don't enjoy equal level of assistance. If you are going to enjoy divine assistance, you need to know what matters to the heart of God. You need to know what matters to the heart of God. And once you begin to touch the things that matters to the heart of God, you begin to provoke the help of this Almighty God. So what are some of the secrets for supernatural success? This morning service and the second service today will be a tremendous blessing for those of you who are first service people. Make sure that you get the CD of the second service. In fact, I encourage you to do that all the time. If you come for first service, make sure you get the CD of the second service so you have balance. Because sometimes what we share in the second service, there are things that you will also need. I don't repeat messages, so make sure you get the second service messages. So I want to quickly start by talking about the concept of ownership and stewardship this morning. The Bible says from the text that we have looked at that there was somebody called a lord. Permit me now to make it clear, it's called the Lord. Because Jesus was just giving us a kingdom parable. So the Bible says a Lord, and from the dictionary, and if you know what goes on in the UK, a Lord, like you have landlord. Is that okay? Landlord. My landlord came. So now the word Lord there means an owner. A Lord is an owner. Number two, a Lord is one that is in authority. A Lord is one that is in authority over a thing. A Lord is one that has authority over a thing, over a place, over a person. I was opportune by the grace of God to go to James Madison's place in Virginia in the U.S. And from there, they took us to what they call the Gilmore's Farm. Now, the Gilmore happens to be one of the black slaves in those days and the days of slave trade and the rest of that. Gilmore was among the first, I think the very first black slave who bought his own freedom. He worked his way, worked for his master, James Madison, the former president of the United States. He worked for him until he paid for his own freedom. And not only paid for his own freedom, he became one of the few slaves who owned lands. And that has gone on from generation to generation. The point I'm trying to make here is that as at the time, while he was still serving under James Madison was his lord. Because a lord is one who has authority over somebody. A lord is one who has authority over something. Landlord, the one that has authority over the land. If there is anything like sea lord, then it will be one who has authority over the sea. The point in essence is this: a landlord and lord is one who has authority over a place, over a person, over a thing. Not only that, he is one with a power, whether limited or sovereign power, over a place, over a person, over a people. So he has authority, he has power, he is the one that owns. He is the one that owns. So the Bible says here that the Lord, a Lord, called his own servants. The word his own there are very critical, meaning they are not somebody else's servants. He called his own servant. Now that implies these are the ones over whom he has jurisdiction. These are the ones over whom he has authority. These are the ones over whom he has power. These are the ones he owns. He called his own servants. Now, like I said, because he is Lord and they are his own servant, it means that he has authority, he has lordship, he has ownership, rights over those people. Now, this is what the Bible says happened. He distributed to them different portions of his goods. The Bible actually calls them goods. Later we knew that they were monies. Is that okay? Please, can I have three of us from the choir come quickly? Very quickly, I'd like you to stand right behind me. Stand right behind me, okay? Thank you. So the Bible says that this man had something that belongs to him. Can you just bring me some materials like Bibles? Just bring me like five Bibles or five books. Just, I want to do something quickly. Five books, five Bibles. All right, so watch this carefully now. There was a Lord who owned five talents. They were his own. Now, watch this carefully, please. And then he also has servants. And these servants also were his own. He owned the servants and he owns the goods. But because he will be away, he will be out of this space. He has trained the servants enough to occupy this space. How do I know that? The Bible says later when he was speaking to the one that did not use his talent, he said, but you know me. You know my manner. You know that if I was here, this is what I would have done. That statement indicated to us that the people we're talking about are people that have been with him and have known his manner of life. Predicated on the fact that he has trained them, he now decided to step out of the space because it is a practice of lords to raise those who will understand how they do things and step out of that space and relinquish that space to those they have trained so that they can conquer new territories. Are you catching what I'm saying here? So what he did was this. He said, the things that I have used and has made me prosper, I'm going to commit them into your hands. The Bible says, unto one, he gave 5 talents. Is that okay? Unto one, he gave 5 talents. Unto another one, he gave 2 talents. Unto another one, he gave 1 talent. Please watch this. When he wanted to give them the talent, he did not decide by himself how much talent he will give to anyone. But his knowledge of their capacities.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
His knowledge, his prior knowledge of their individual capacities. How did he know their capacities? You see, he has committed different assignments to them before now, and he has seen how they executed it. He has seen their performances and their non-performances, and based on previous assignments, capacities were decided.
Can I go with you this morning? Are you ready for this word? This one.
Ooh. So based on previous performances, capacities were decided. Unfortunately for these guys, when assignments were being committed to their hands, they didn't know that lesser assignments were being used to decide future assignments. So the Lord, before the day in which he will commit his own goods, before the day in which he will commit his own goods into their hand came, he committed into their hands just normal goods. Because
we celebrate that kind of revelation. Hallelujah. They tried. They were sincere. But they were sincerely wrong. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 gave us the clarification. He said, in the process of time, Now, before I forget, this will lead me to redefine what tithe is. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. It didn't say Cain brought black papa, black mountain, black mango, black this, black that. Hallelujah. Rotten melon. No. He brought the fruit of the ground, but he did it in the process of time. I checked several versions and I was amazed by what I saw. One said after a while. Someone said when the time has passed. Hallelujah. After he has cooked some, after he has used some for porridge, after he has taken some to market, after he has put some in a barn. Hallelujah. In the process of time, after a while. Now what he brought could have been the best of the fruit of the land. But it's not about what, but about when. So the what is not as important as when. You imagine the widow, after she has eaten, her son has eaten, hallelujah, and maybe the following day, you know, there's a man of God here, so let me bring a cake to him. Hallelujah. So it was the problem of timing But unlike Cain, Bible said Abel brought the force of his livestock. The force. Now, I wish the media could put that so that it won't be asking what this guy saying. The force as it's coming out, hallelujah, from the mother's womb, he just labeled it. This one is for God. So that was the difference. And Bible said God had respect. Now, I thought unto Abel offering force. But he said God had respect unto Abel. Hallelujah. And his offering. Now, it's not just about the money. It's about the attitude with which you give. Hallelujah. He had respect because he brought the force. He didn't waste time. As he's coming out, said, God, this is your own. Before I touch anything, before I sell anything, before I cook anything, yours first. Hallelujah. Oh God, God is obsessed with the force. No wonder he said, concerning the house of Eli, he said, I have thought, I'm prophesying now, that you, your house, and your father's house will serve me forever, will be priests for life. He said, but far be it from me. That scripture make me tremble. 2 Samuel or 4 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. He said, but far be it from me. In other words, I'm going to change my mind. Even though I'm a God, I don't change. Hallelujah. But concerning you, because you have violated a very important principle. Hallelujah. He said, far be it from me. He said, I honor those who honor me. And those that despise me, I will lightly esteem. Hallelujah. And of course, you know that the conversation has to do with giving. Touching what belongs to God. Hallelujah. I don't want to go into all of that. No. I would say that in the matter of two or three witnesses, I should not just give you one witness. Now, I'm talking about the force. I'm driving the word force. Jericho was not the promised land. Jericho was the gateway to the promised land. Hallelujah. It's going to be the first major victory before they will settle in their own land. So it was supposed to be the first fruit. So it said nobody should touch anything about it. It said everything, the spoil, to be burnt off as an offering unto me to indicate first fruit to me. Because after this, you are going to step into your land and enjoy it forever. But before you start enjoying your own, burn up the one which is for me. So that you can come up to, oh my God, I know what I'm talking to you. And Bible said that there was a man who was covetous. And he spread forth, stretched his hand and tossed the force, the agiaso, the kerem, hallelujah. The devoted things, the one that's supposed to be kept aside, set aside. He tossed it and said, God said, I'm backing off from you, Israelite. I will not follow you to the battle from now because you have refused to give me that which belongs to me. Because you have not given me my place. Hallelujah. Now, what can you do if God withdraws his hand from you? Somebody say, first. If you understand this, you will never eat your first fruit again in your life. This is what I've understood that have made me to be faithful with first fruit for the past 12 years. Because I know first fruit is not a doctrine. It is not a denominational creed. It is a code of honor. If anybody asks you, why are you paying first fruit? Just say, because I honor God. So, Achan tossed the force, the agiaso, the kerem, and God was mad with him. Hallelujah. Because one man, it's not all the Israelites, one man tossed the force. Hallelujah. God was incensed. God was angry. God backed off. Little enemy like I began to defeat them. Why? Because they touched the force. Hallelujah. And when the problem was diagnosed, because this is a very serious thing, they have to burn Achan and all his family, all his properties, to purge Israel of that evil. So it is evil to touch that which belongs to God. So your tithe is a form of agiaso. Your tithe is a keren. It's a devoted thing. Now, it's your tithe is not your 10%. I know demons of religion just flew out now. Your tithe is not your 10%. Your tithe is your first 10%. Your first 10%. No. Somebody, people ask clever question. Ah, pastor, if somebody is dying beside me and all I have with me is my tithe, can't I help the person from dying? If somebody is in need, want to pay school fees, and I have my tithe with me, and my tithe is the only thing I have with me, the question, you should be arrested. Because in the first instance, why should you be having your tithe as the last with you? Because by the time you have your tithe, you still have 90% with you. I know you didn't catch that. Hallelujah. Now, anytime you have your tithe, your 90% should still be in place. Because your tithe should be the first 10%. Before Abraham gave to family, before he did any investment, what did he do? As he was coming back from the war, he has not incurred any expenses. He tithed on the gross. That's another thing. Should I tithe on the gross or on the net? That's for another day. Hallelujah. But now, I know you don't need a rocket science person to understand what I just said. That your tithe is a force. Now, are you surprised that you have been tithing and you are not being blessed? Because you are tithing out of order. You will watch your expenditure. Okay, maybe this month, Nepal will come. Okay, this month. Now, let me see what will happen. Whether some things will happen now concerning my car. So when you watch the atmosphere and the coast is clear, you now bring your tithe in the process of time. In the process, after a while. And you know, God has taught us that delayed obedience is disobedience. So some of us tithe, but you tithe out of order. And I said, there is no result. Some of you say, God, please borrow me tithe for 3 months. That after 3 months, I will not pay all. And you know, you are saying, Lord, for the next 3 months, allow me to fight the devourer by myself. Because if you postpone your tithe, hallelujah, you are also postponing God's help. Because that's the only place. I don't know what I'm saying here. Honestly, my time is flying. Well, no problem. And the only place where God said hi, okay, now, one of the places, because I'm not too sure now, praise God, because we have to be very accountable of everything we say from this pulpit. One of the places where God said, I will rebuke the devourer or the devil is in the issue of tithing. Now, in New Testament, Ephesians chapter, is it 4 or 5, 27 now? He said, give no place to the devil. At the point, he said, resist the devil. Who will do it? You. He said, cast out the demon. Mark chapter 16. But in this one, he said, hi, you will not be, ordinarily should be the one to do it. I've empowered you to do it. But concerning this one, I will be the one to do it. Hallelujah. You don't know what you're joking with when you're playing with your tithe. You don't know. I don't want to talk about that. I'm talking about first. And let me bring it on. Now, someone has been wondering, why is it that Saul did something little and David did something much and God was mad with Saul? Now, it's because you don't have revelation what Saul did. Now, God said, go and fight the Amalekite. Every spoil from that battle. Now, don't take anything, because after you have been enthroned as king, this is going to be your first major battle. I can go on and on, honestly. But because of the fact that Saul wanted to display as championships, the spoil of the world, because in those days, oh, I can't go into that. Hallelujah. But he refused to act in the voice of the Lord, and he tossed the force, the agasso. Hallelujah. He kept it for himself. And God said, my first fruit, you toss it, your kingdom is torn. I will no longer support you. In fact, he told Samuel, he said, don't talk to me about Saul again. Unlike David, when David killed Goliath, his first major victory, Bible said he took the head of Goliath. I saw something. It's to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is symbolic of the kingdom. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love it. And you know, that's talking about kingdom. Bible said he dropped his armor in his tent, but he carried the head to Saul, the anointed of the Lord, the representative of God in that time. He didn't put the head of Goliath in his tent. That was the major difference. Someone said, shout the force. And this is not just about money alone. The first part of your day belongs to God. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing to reach out to is not your phone. It's not your email. Hallelujah. The first part of your day belongs to God. The first part of the year belongs to God. That's why we don't play with Jeremy in the transforming church, because we understand the concept of the force. When I get my office, before I greet my staff, before I talk to any of my colleagues, the first thing I do is to put my head on my desk and give God the first part of my time in the office. Someone shout the first. God won the first part of everything. The first part of your life. Some of you have used the first part of your life to build brick for Pharaoh. You are reserving for God. Hallelujah. Your life is over. When your strength is gone, that God is asking for the first part of your life. Not after you have given to NMPC, GTB, this one, that one. And you now give God. God said, I'm not in the business of being sought last. God said, I don't want to be sought as a second option. No. If I'm not the first, I will not be there at all. And of course, if what I've described look like Old Testament, haven't you read in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then every other thing shall be added unto it. Somebody start first. God supposed to be the person who occupies the first place in your life. And if you give God his place, you will have place on earth. My time is fast spent. Let's put our hands together as I welcome my gospel man this morning. I can't even get anywhere. But it's okay. I'm a man of honor authority. See, this morning my assignment is in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 12 has been my scripture for past few weeks now, and I'm here to exhaust it. I'm going to read today from verse 12. Are we there? I asked anybody, are you there? In 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Somebody say first. I'm sure you never forget that word in a hurry. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she And he and her house did eat for many days. Father, we ask that you bless your word once again in Jesus' name. Now, we've been on the series, Love Languages of God. Love Languages of God. And we've been considering one of the love languages, which happened to be giving. Now, I just trust the Lord this morning to see how we can round up on that. Now, I've shared with you the fact that giving communicate love. Giving communicate love. If you love God, one of the ways to prove it is that you give. And I said, giving speaks major language. And the major language that it speaks is love. But apart from the major language, there are other dialects that giving speaks. And last week, I spoke about honor. I said that ordinarily, every giving should result in honor. But in reality, not every giving brings honor to God. And of course, the reason is because for giving to become honorable, it must be done appropriately. It must meet some criteria. And I highlighted last week the criteria that giving must meet to bring honor to God indeed. Not every giving brings honor to God. Some giving actually bring dishonor to God. Some giving bring dishonor to God. So I said for giving to result in honor, it must be done willingly. I said it must be sacrificial. And of course, I said it must be done as a priority. For your giving to give honor to God, then you must give to Him first. The first part of your income belongs to the Lord. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruit of all your increase. With the first fruit of all your increase. And I went ahead to say that it's not just limited to giving money, giving cash, or giving resources alone. That everything that has to do with force belongs to the Lord. The first part of your day belongs to God. The first and the early part of your life belongs to God. When you leave your house and you come back in the evening, the first thing you do is to honor the Lord. Before you start talking with your spouse, before you sit down to settle to watch TV, the first thing is to say, Father, I thank you for seeing me through another day. So the first of everything belongs to the Lord. Now, I'm going to mention one more thing before I go to the next message that giving communicates. And it has to do with the fact that for giving to be honorable, it must be planned. It must be planned. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Paul said, upon the first day of the week, let every man lay aside in a store, according as God has prospered him, so that I will not be gathering when I come. Paul said, now, you have to prepare your offering, your giving, 1 week in advance, upon the first day of the week. Let every man lay aside in a store whatever he's going to give, so that it is not when I come to run special program and the service is going on. That is not the time for you to determine what to give. Rather, prepare as one service is ending, prepare what you're going to give in the next service. And of course, you know that true lovers prepare what they give to the people they love. If we really love people and honor them, we must prepare what we give to them. Let me ask you a question. If the president of this country is to visit the Transforming Church this morning, now, are we going to wait for him to come before we decide what we're going to give to him? I believe that we may have to set up a committee. The committee will meet for maybe several weeks and several days to consider what we're going to give to Mr. President. Should it be a car? Should it be a card? Should it be an award? Now, we put a lot of preparation, thoughtfulness into it because of the one we want to give to. So for giving to communicate honor and love, it must be prepared for. It must be planned. It must be planned. Now, you don't just get to service, and when the offering bag is going around, that is when you now begin, what should I give now? Now, is it 1,000 or 500 or 200? Or some of us, now what we do is that you just put your hand in your pocket. Anything that comes out. Kingdom I flyer. Don't operate like that. Because if your giving is erratic, your harvest will also be erratic. If your giving is out of order, your harvest will be out of order. And let me say this. One of the principles you must master in the school of kingdom prosperity is the fact that you must learn how to handle money properly. You must learn how to handle money decently. Because money obeys the law of respect, which says that whatever you don't respect will move away from you. So, if you want money to come to you, then you must learn to respect money. Stop squeezing money into your pocket. Hallelujah. Stop doing that. It is anti-covenant. That is why when you see great people, one of the things that you see with them is that they have a wallet. Someone say wallet. Do you have a wallet? You know, if you abuse money, money will move away from you. Money loves to be treated decently. Now, we do regard and respect to all the women in the house. Now, I've observed that money and ladies have some similarities. Now, ladies in the house, how many of you want a guy that will just abuse you, treat you anyhow, insult you? How many of you would like love that kind of a man? Now, real women, I mean real women anyway, love to be treated decently. And at the same time, I know ladies don't want guys that can't put their feet on the ground. Guys that cannot make up their mind about what they want. In as much as they want to be loved, I'm talking about ladies now. Now, they don't want people that will be on their neck, following them everywhere, toilets, phone call, their office, their friend's house. How many ladies like men like that? Ladies want you to give them some space. Don't be possessive or over possessive. So the same way, now you should respect money, but don't worship money. Now the difference between money and ladies is that money doesn't want to be loved. Money loves to be respected. I know it will take you some time to catch that. Money cannot handle love. Money loves to be used, not to be worshipped. So if you worship money, money will move away from you. Now, what you're supposed to do is to respect money, treat money well, but don't worship it. Don't abuse it. The best way to use money is to tie it to an assignment. Praise the Lord. Because money is supposed to be a tool to fulfill your assignment. Now, if you want to call money and you want it to respond to you, then you must have an assignment. So if you are consistently broke, now the problem may be that you don't have an assignment. Because money don't just come. Now, some of you have been calling money. Money, come to me now. And it's not coming. Why? Because there is no assignment in view. And you know, the last time you called money, money said, "Oh, this guy calling us." I said, "Okay, let me just test him. So money decided to send a last born. 1 million naira. Go and see what, you know, the guy, why he's calling me. And when you saw the last born of money, you fainted. And money said, "Oh." So look at this guy. I only sent my last born and he fainted. If I call myself, hallelujah. You have not seen money. Amen. You only saw the last one of money. And you see, some people, when money land, they will drop their assignment. Am I talking to real people this morning? And one of you say, ah, no, no, no. The reason why I come is because of your assignment. But somebody say, ah, money, you are here. Assignment to hell with you. Let me follow money. And if you follow money, you will never have it. But when you say, money, come now. Yes, sir. What do I do? Okay, the transforming church is about to construct a fence. So I want to go there. Money will say, yes, sir. When you say, money, coming now. There is something happening in Port Harcourt. The transforming church is about to open a branch. So I want to go there. Money will say, yes, sir. When you have assignment and you pursue it, money must pursue you. Hallelujah. I don't know how I get into all of that, honestly. So this morning, I want to move to the next message that love, I mean, that giving passes across. Money communicates trust. Somebody say trust. Somebody say trust. Now, in the text we read, there was a particular revelation. Maybe I will start from there. Elijah said, go and do as thou hast said, but make for me a cake first. And Bible said that the widow went to do according to the saying of Elijah. Now, I thought if you give God first, you will not be able to do what you want to do. The woman had an objective. She said, what I have is for me and my son to eat and to die. And Elijah said, I'm not stopping you from meeting your needs, which is to prepare something for yourself and your son. But go and do my own first. And Bible said that the woman was able to do as Elijah said. In other words, the woman was able to make something for Elijah first. She was also able to make something for herself and for her son. The question is this. Who told you that when you do God's business first, your business will not be done? Who told you? Who told you that if you make God's kingdom your priority, your own business will suffer? Who told you? She was still able to do what she wanted to do after doing God's own business first. Now, I will never forget the time we're about to roof this place. Now, God has challenged us to be part of that project. He challenged us to give. And it happened to be at the time that I was preparing to pay my student school fees. And at that time, I was also building my own house. And I've done some crazy givings around that time. And here was a need in the house of God. I have option now to say, I have my student school fees to pay. I have my own house which I was building to complete. And the house of God should come later. But in the midst of all of my needs, I decided to suspend my own needs and to give towards the roofing of the house of the Lord. And just some few weeks after that, I was scheduled for an official visit. Now, at the essence of paying my son's school fees and my children's school fees, because, you know, some of us, we have our quivers full of them. Hallelujah. At the essence of continuing with my own project, I chose to give to the house of the Lord first. And that triggered something. I was scheduled for a visit, and before I even came out to Abuja, I was able to pay my children's school fees right while I was on that trip. And of course, the moment I came back, I was able to take my own building project to the roofing stage. And of course, by now, the rest is story. I'm living in the house. Now, what am I trying to say? Now, if you do God's own force, God will see to it that your own too is done. Who told you that if you give to God, you will not be able to accomplish that master project. That project of doing your master abroad. Who told you? Who told you that if you give to God, you will not be able to build your own house? Who told you? It's a lie from the pit of hell. Now, this morning, I want to draw attention to a phrase. And that is the fact that Elijah said, fear not. Everybody said, fear not. Please, join me to preach this morning. Stand on your feet and announce to three people, fear not, fear not, fear not. If you don't do that, I know you are afraid. Now, why did Elijah say that? Fear not. Because he knew that what could hold the widow back was fear. He knew that he must challenge the faith of the widow. He knew that except there is a supernatural courage, the widow will not have the guts to give her only meal to God through Elijah. So fear is the reason why people don't give. What will happen if I give God my 10%? Will the rest 90% be enough? What will happen if I make God project a priority? What will happen to my own project? Will I still have enough to pay my children's school fees? Will I still have enough to provide for my family? If I give out of this one, even everything is not enough. Hallelujah. But you know, I've learned a secret that when what you have is not enough to be your harvest, make it your seed. Now, I gave 100,000 for the roofing of the house of the Lord. 100,000 can build me a house. Hallelujah. But because I made it a seed, now God brought my harvest. So anytime what you have in your hand is not enough to be the harvest you want, make it a seed. Make it a seed. Fear of losing stop people from giving. Fear of being neglected. Fear of not being able to do what you want to do if you give to God. Hallelujah. Anytime, now, but this is the implication of fear. Anytime you are afraid of giving, you are simply saying, God, I don't trust you. Anytime you have opportunity to give to God, to express your love, and you refuse to do so. Now, the implication, this is how God perceives it. You are saying, God, I don't trust you enough to give to you. Because if I give to you, I'm not sure whether you can sustain me or whether you can provide for me. And I want you to think about that for a while. Now, how will you feel if you had a conversation from your children, maybe with their friends, saying, well, I don't even believe that for anything. I can't trust any of my parents' word. I don't believe that they will do anything they say. I don't trust them. I don't trust my parents. I don't trust my dad. I don't trust my mom. How will you feel? How will you feel when your sweetheart looked at you face to face and said, baby, I love you, but I don't trust you. Rather, I trust your best friend. How will you feel? In fact, you will not just feel insulted, you will be suspicious. And how do you think God feels when you say, God, I don't trust you? We are talking about the possessor of heaven and earth, the CEO, the one that said 1,000 cattle upon the hills belongs to him, the one that said silver and gold is mine. You look at that being and you said it's not capable to meet your need, that whatever you put in his hand is not safe. That must be very, very painful. No wonder Mike Mundo said, the greatest pain of God is not to be trusted. Now, and of course, that happens to you. When people that are close to you look at your face and say, I don't trust you. Or we don't trust you. You know how you feel. So giving communicates love. And lack of giving communicates distrust. I mean, giving communicates trust. And lack of giving communicates distrust. So when you give to God, you are saying, God, I trust you. But when you hold back, you are saying, God, I don't trust you. And nothing can be more painful to God. The greatest pain of God is to be doubted. And some of us know that we've doubted God in several ways. Now, I want to say some things about trust. Number one, you must trust God's ability to raise your seed. Hallelujah. You must trust God's ability to raise your seed. Every time you give, whatever you give, now, leave your hand, but it does not leave your life. Every time you give, whatever you give, leave your hand, but it does not leave your life. Hallelujah. Every time you give, whatever you give goes into the soil of your life. Hallelujah. And God is able to raise your seed. Hallelujah. God won't allow your seed to die. Bible says it will multiply the seed sown. God does not withhold seed back. God does not allow seed to remain in the soil. Now, if there is anything that God does with your seed, is the fact that God multiplies your seed. Let me have the box. Hallelujah. Let me have maybe Pastor Wally or someone. You can open it. It's carefully. Hallelujah. Now, Bible said that God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God is a giver of seed. Everything you have right now, your talent, your money, your skills, your ability, they all came from God. There is nothing you have that you have not received. So what God does